Let me open with a word of prayer. We got a lot to go over this morning, so let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for just the guidance and direction of your word. Lord, if we listen to it more, it would protect our hearts and minds in this world that we live in. And Lord, we know that you have given it to us to guide and direct us. We have everything that we need to live a godly life in this world. And so that's just what you're asking us to do. And so we want to be obedient to give you glory in everything that we do. Father, we love you, and I pray you would open hearts and minds for understanding this morning so that we can take something away from what you have to say to us. We love you, Lord, and we commit this service to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rod Serling back in the 60s, long before I was born, but I used to love to watch the old Twilight Zone, the movies, the reruns anyway. But listen to, if you're a fan of that, you probably know The Obsolete Man. Listen to the intro to that. It's very true for today.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace. Any state, any entity, any ideology that fails to recognize the worth, the dignity, the rights of man, that state is obsolete. A case to be filed under M for Mankind in the Twilight Zone.
I hope you listen to what his words say. Maybe I'd be more impactful if I had a cigarette hanging on my hand like you did. And that'd be cool. Yeah, I'd stink. But how true that is. I don't think we understand the battle that is raging around us. 1 John 5:19, John says that we belong to God. We know that we're of God. But the whole world lies under the power, under the control of the evil one. And the struggle, the battle, biblically, is for control of the mind. And the Bible talks a lot about the mind. It talks about a troubled mind. It talks about a depraved mind, a sinful mind, a dull mind, a blinded mind, a corrupt mind, a seared mind. There's all kinds of ways that the Bible talks about the mind. And every generation before us who has had to deal with the enemy, the evil one, has understood that it's a battle for the mind. And like Rod Serling said, the evil one wants us to give up our human freedom because logic is our enemy and truth is a menace. Don't we see that in our culture today? Wow. Ain't no different than what it was when he talked about this when that episode aired in 1961. 61 years ago, exactly, to tell you the truth. But that's the same world that we live in today. But this is how God created us to be just like him. He created us to think, to act. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Some translations use sound discipline, or it's all the same. You need to have control of your mind. It's self-discipline. It's self-control. And that only comes with a strong mind. It comes from something that God gave us at salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't wage war against the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captivity to the obedience of Christ." It is a battle for the mind. Now, one of the ways that the enemy controls our mind is through drugs. And I've said it before, We talk about the word drug comes from the New Testament word pharmakeia. We understand we get pharmacy or pharmaceuticals from it. But it's so much more than that. If you do the etymology of the word, the Old Testament uses the word witchcraft. Now, witchcraft was a different word interpreted. It was known as herbology or a poisoner. And so what they would do is they would take plants and they would take roots and they would take all this stuff and they'd grind it up and they'd mix these things together. And either they would smoke it or burn it like incense, aromatherapy. These things are nothing new. This has been around for thousands of years. And so they became known as a poisoner because they would take certain chemicals and they would mix them together. And then, you know, somebody had to be a guinea pig, right? Say, here, try this, see if this works. Oh, don't drink that. That's a poison. So it became known as poisoning. And so as the etymology of the word comes through the New Testament, it became known as a dose. And it became known as magic and potions. And they began to mix stuff together. And then if you took too much, it was an overdose. Isn't that awesome? So anyway, so here's the thing. It's a battle for control of the mind because so many people think that you shouldn't have anxiety. You shouldn't have some type of something because this life sucks. Amen? And if you want to stay here, you go right ahead. I want the one to come. But everybody thinks that you shouldn't have any pain. You shouldn't have any anxiety. You shouldn't have nothing. Everything should be picture perfect. And if it's picture perfect, nobody's going to want to leave here. Hello? I mean, that's why we have pain receptors, because it tells you something's wrong. Right? When you touch the oven, get your fingers off there. You're going to get them burnt. But look, I don't know how this stuff works out. I don't know all the degrees in which it happens. But this is one of the end times deceiver. And this is one of the ways that Satan tries to control our minds. Now, I'm not saying that a little bit of help is not wrong, but I am saying this. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, it says, "For the merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery." That word sorcery is where we get pharmakeia. It's the word pharmakeia. It gets pharmaceuticals, pharmacy. So we know the end times. The nations, the merchants, the people are pushing drugs. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I can, because that's the world we're living in today. So it's a battle for the mind. A battle for the mind. In Revelation 21:8 and Galatians 5:20, it talks about those that practice sorcery or are addicted to drug use will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because people that practice something for their ruin, they're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. You gotta allow the Spirit to have control. But the problem is this. We were created by God with a body, soul, and spirit. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That word soul there, matter of fact, it's translated in different passages as life. Your soul, your life, your spirit, what makes up you who you are, comes from the Greek word psyche. And so it's soul, it's life, it's translated so many things. That's what makes you up. Your whole body, soul, and spirit is your psyche. That's you. That's what separates us from the animals. They do things based off of instinct. We do things based off of a thought-out plan, based off of truth, logic, reason, all those things. And we react with our body based off of that information. But we get the word psychology from it. And it's amazing because for thousands of years in the beginning, man understood that we were a body, a soul, and a spirit. All three made up one. But you look the definition up today, you know what psychology is? It's merely the scientific study of the mind. And that's it. So we have lost the ability to help the body as a unit, as God intended. He created us to be a body, soul, and spirit. I wish there was somebody up here who could tell me about the body and how it out. Oh, hey, look at that.
Funny you should say that, Danny. Listen, folks. This is not a political statement at all. Hmm. It doesn't matter what color, it doesn't matter what nationality, it doesn't matter what gender. I'm here to tell you that your government, the people above you, do not want you to be well. They don't want you to be well physically. They don't want you to be well spiritually. They don't care about your families. They don't care about any of that stuff. What they care about is, here, take this to make this better. And then you're probably going to have to take this because this is going to jack this up. And then you're going to have to take, and all they hear, every time you do this, they hear, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Listen, folks, doctors, I'm not hating on doctors. They do fantastic. Hello, I've seen some doctors the past couple months, right? I love doctors. But they don't know, folks. They don't know some of the stuff that we know, that Scripture has been teaching for thousands of years, some principles that we should live by that would just get us healthy. Just, I want you to pay attention. I don't watch commercials anymore because I have the DVR and I actually have the HOPPA and it just hops over commercials. Remember that commercial? The HOPPA? He's got the HOPPA anyway. So I don't watch commercials anymore, but just pay attention to how many commercials are trying to get you to take something. They want to get you to take, are you feeling, da, da, da. But then at the end of the, listen to all the side effects. Spontaneous combustion. Painting the walls with whatever you got, like, come on, man. Like, so, listen, we need to understand some of these things and how it works and how, because the doctors aren't educated. Let me tell you what the doctors are educated by. They're educated by the people that come in, the pharmaceutical sales reps. My brother-in-law is one, right? So he studies his face off on this one topic, and then he goes and he has to sell it to this doctor. And so he gets paid, and the doctor gets paid. And that's where they're getting their education from. So anyway, don't ask me about insurance, investing, banking. Don't ask me to do your taxes. But two things I know very well, okay? That's the Bible and the human body, okay?
Amen.
God has blessed me with those two things. And Danny gave me 10 minutes to talk about something that I am most passionate about in the whole wide world, because I want people to be better. I want marriages to be better. And if you're better and then you're concerned about getting your team better, then guess what? I'm not concerned about just getting myself better. I want to get my team better, because when my team gets better, then I get better. I need our marriages to work that way. I need our church to work that way. I need our leadership to work that way.
That's right.
We need to be concerned about getting each other better. All right. I'm giving myself goosebumps, Dan. You better slow me down. All right.
I said
first
10,
thing we'll talk,
10 minutes.
How long has it been? Does it start now, 10 minutes?
Yeah, from okay. The beginning.
Hormones. Let me talk about your hormones. Hormones, brain health, right? Listen, I counsel a lot of people, and I'm blessed to be able to do that. And the people that I have an opportunity to be able to invest in, I try to give them enough of my past to know that, like, I'm not speaking from up here. I'm speaking from right here, because I'm this close to, you know, being an absolute mess myself. And so I've had to do a lot of things to get myself to where I am today, right? And so some of that stuff is like, so your hormones, your brain health. Listen, you can't be you if your chemicals are off balance, right? Your hormones, your estrogen levels, ladies, your testosterone level, men. If your levels aren't correct, if they're not, you can't human right, okay? Because everything that you do is a chemical reaction going on in your brain. So women, like menopause women, you understand, like when that estrogen's going, stuff happens, you get irrational, right? No? Okay. Anyway, like, I know the effects of estrogen. I know the effects of low testosterone. Listen, I counsel with a bunch of men. You know what I see? I see these big old guts. I see these skinny little arms. And I see this blank look in their eyes of just, they've just given up. They've just lost hope. They've just, you know, and I know the root of their problem. Your testosterone level is in the toilet. You have no drive. It's not just a sex thing. It's a vigor. It's a, let me go dominate something. Let me go conquer something. If your testosterone level is low, men, you're not going to want to do that. I promise you, right? You'll say, I see it. I see it in your eyes, okay? So there's hormone stuff going on. I tell couples, I'm so convinced by this. I tell couples that sit in front of me, go get your hormones checked. If your doctor will do that, run a full panel, see where you're at. Because husband, if your test level's low, you're not going to want to chase your wife. You're not. You're not going to want to chase your career. You're not going to want to play with your kids. You're going to be tired. You're going to be lethargic. You're going to be apathetic. This is hormone stuff. This is nature. This is just what it is, all right?
And that's part of exactly what you're saying is part of what they've been doing for thousands of years. So they found out that grinding this up and burning it in aromatherapy would allow those chemicals to balance out so that you would go from a different type of reaction to a normal reaction or to calm you or to do something. That's what we've been doing. But you need to have a strong mind if you don't have certain things into practice.
Well, the emotion thing, what happens with emotions and, again, the chemical stuff is that if you react out of emotions, it's very dangerous because I can have something happen and then I got dopamine. Something I like, right? My wife comes and kisses me, boom, my dopamine's firing, right?
That's right.
But then I could get a call and then, okay, now my brain releases hormones that make me sad. So to be carried around by your emotions is dangerous. That's why you need to understand, like, to be happy 1 second, to be sad 1 second, you have to be able to harness and not be controlled by your emotions. But that is part of mental repetitions. Just like I got stronger in the gym by doing physical bench repetitions. I can do bench now, by the way. I did push-ups the other day. Thank you very much. Big. That's big for me. But it takes reps. I did not go in the gym one day and just put 800 pounds and squat it, okay? I had to go in and I had to squat the bar. People want to be so mentally sound and have perfect marriages and perfect jobs and perfect, like he was saying, I want to be happy, but you haven't done the reps. You haven't done the work. But then the doctor says, here, take this pill, and this will make you happy. Can I just tell you about antidepressants? And listen, I'm not hating. I know there's people that just need a little, again, it's chemical stuff that need balanced.
That's right.
But let me tell you, a lot of times, okay, just from counseling people, that pill that you're taking is going to take away your lows, okay? But it's also going to take away your highs. It'll keep you right here. Just kind of, and so you won't get sad, but you'll just kind of.
That's amazing that you should mention that, because in you talk about the Greek words when we're studying the Bible, and Matthew 24, I think verse 12, it says that when lawlessness, at that time, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. And that word grow cold, listen to this, it comes from the Greek word, but it means something that's on fire, something's hot. And what you're doing is you're cooling it real fast. It's supposed to be hot, it's supposed to be doing something, but you're just cooling it and it's ineffective. And that word is the Greek psycho.
Yeah.
Psyche is what we are, body, soul, and spirit. But a form of the word means to grow cold, and that's psycho. And that's what happens. Like for a psycho killer,
sure.
They become numb to everything. They don't have the highs of this or the lows of that. They're numb. There's nothing. Their whole mind has just grown cold. Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah. So the things I want to, like the hormones, okay, we got to get that figured out. Get balanced, right? Get balanced. Men, I'd love to talk to you all day about that because I'm a man, and so I can talk. But females, same thing, okay? So we got to be able to human correctly, all right? Not reacting out of emotion. We got to start building those reps up. It takes, like you just said, life sucks, man. Life is coming in so hot, and it's 98, 99% of how you react to it, okay? Guess
what?
Right. If you have low testosterone and something comes and flies in your face, you're more than likely going to withdraw, and you're not. But guess what? If you're where you need to be, and something, just trust me in this. But we're after a strong mind. That's what we want, right?
That's right.
A strong mind. As a Christ follower, doing these reps, not reacting out of emotion, being able to train yourself. Listen, someone that can control themselves, that can control their emotions, my friend, you're a dangerous person.
That's right.
If you can really control how you react in a situation, how you respond in a situation, you are almost bulletproof. And I'm telling you, the kingdom can use those types of people because you are incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
And your potential is ridiculous. Because guess what, folks? And I'll end on this and you can do your thing. Nobody talks more to you than you. You talk more to yourself than anyone else. All right?
That's right.
So if you're not of strong mind, body, soul, if you don't have all of those things working in accord, then you're going to struggle, right? It's going to be difficult. Oh, you told me to take this. My bad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
But you have to be thinking positive. You have to be balanced. If I'm balanced and I'm where I need to be and I'm working my mind, then I'm talking positively to myself, right? I'm saying I can do it instead of I can't do it. I can't be used. I can't be, right? We start getting in this negative talk because of our chemical reaction. So we got to get all of it together, working together, and don't just take the pill, man. There's better ways, okay? I promise.
And I think a good way to sum this up would be what Paul says in Romans 12:2, where he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is that good and perfect and acceptable God's will." That word transformed there is where we get our English word metamorphosis. You think of a caterpillar and his metamorphosis, right? That's the same thing. It's a total transformation, but it comes from the inside out. And that's what we want the Word of God to do. We want it to transform us to who He wants us to be from the inside out. And the key to that is the mind. What does Proverbs say? As a man thinks in his heart, he is what? So he is. There you go. However you think you are, that's what you are. It's a battle for the mind. So the control center of everybody's thoughts and attitudes and feelings and actions is right in the mind. And I want to say this, that the battle for the mind, you have freedom in Jesus so you can have discernment. And when you have discernment, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you that can give you power to redirect your mind. But the problem becomes that we have real issues and problems in life. And I'd say, well, you need a knee replacement, Danny. Well, why don't you just take that to the Lord in prayer? Okay, I have since March of this year. How's that working out for you? Well, it's gotten so bad I got to wear my brace now because I can't walk. But there are serious things that need help. Jesus said the people who are well don't go to the physician, right? But if Jesus is the great physician, we need to allow him to help us have a strong mind. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 4:4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving." There's a lot of good things out there that God has given us for our help. Amen? Amen. But you got to have discernment of what is good and what is bad. Is food good? You need it, don't you? You don't have food, you won't survive. Some of us are eating a little more than others. But here's the issue. Can you eat too much? Can you eat in an unthankful way? Okay, so what God created to be good can be done in a bad way, right? Marriage is great, isn't it? Isn't sex awesome? Well, for you teenagers that aren't married yet, no, don't answer that. But inside of a marriage, it's awesome. But it can be abused, can it? So everything that God created, matter of fact, in the context of 1 Timothy 4, he's talking about actually marriage and food. And he said everything God created is to be good. Did God create mold? And I'm sure glad he did. Because you know what they get from mold? Penicillin. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that help people? Now, can you abuse stuff that God gives you? You sure can. And I'm not a doctor, I'm a biblicist. I'm not here to give you prescribed pills and none of that stuff. What I'm here to tell you is that when God created us, we are a very intricate created system. Nervous system, we have chemicals inside, and things are just... It's a shame that we don't understand our bodies the way we should. And I would never rush in to take pills. I would say this, man. There are certain things for your body that you could do with counseling. Do you know, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I will tell you this. You can have a good diet, lose weight, and in most cases, you get off of blood pressure pills, and some diabetes get in check.
There.
Yes, absolutely.
Made to work, right? It wasn't made to work, or you'd just be a blob floating around. We were made
Sure.
That's good, but we don't have hours this morning. Your 10 minutes are up. But here's the idea, man. We're both now standing up here to try to proclaim this. We're biblicists, right? The psyche, body, soul, spirit. God said from the beginning, everything has to come together. Listen, this is nothing new. Because I can stand here all day and counsel you for depression. Why? Because I have the Bible. Well, you can't do that. You're not a counselor. No, I'm a biblicist. So when Elijah, when he was running, remember, he's up on the mount. This is a perfect illustration of what Matt's talking about. The highs and the lows, like 1 minute, his like wife kisses him. He's like, oh, yeah, baby. And then he gets a phone call, and he's like, oh. Okay, so here's Elijah. Same situation. He's on Mount Carmel. You remember that? He's like, yeah, pour water all over my sacrifice. Yeah, the Lord's going to come down and lick it up with fire. And he's like, hey, speak louder. Maybe your God's hard of hearing or something. And then it got, the Lord comes down with fire, dries up all the water, takes the sacrifice. And then Elijah's like, let's go kill all those prophets of Baal. And then 2 minutes later, he gets the word that Jezebel's going to kill him. Oh, no, I got to run. So where does he go? He runs and he hides in a cave. And he's all depressed and he's suicidal. And he goes, God, God, just take my life. Just take it, man. I'm the only one serving you. And I'm the only one left. Just take me. Take my life. And God said, nope, 7,000 haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I got stuff in the workings beyond that. Here, then he has a crow come and give him some flesh. Here, you need to eat and you need to drink. Do you know how important it is when you're not feeling real good to eat and drink? Okay, God knows what's best for us. Amen? Can we not counsel biblically? You're doggone right. When you're depressed, you still need to eat and drink. And it's funny because crows were an unclean animal, and God fed Elijah with an unclean animal. Isn't that funny? That's in your face. There you go. There's an unclean animal. Just take the flesh he's given you. God provides, man. That's why they had chemicals. That's why they had things, aromatherapy, some of those little. I tell you what, some of that stuff works pretty good. And you don't need to take pills. You don't need to take all this stuff. And I'm so glad that we've got ways to help people. But man, you got to take care of your health. When you break up, you know, young people, when they break up with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't do anything, your mind's a mess. That's why it's so important to teach them to get your mind strong in the beginning. It's going to help you through life, especially when they come, start calling for Christians. Our time's coming, folks, and it's coming soon. They're going to start saying that Christians need to pay for what they've done to this world. Matter of fact, they're already saying it now. I'm not saying that you can't use pharmaceuticals. I'm just saying, man, when it comes to certain things, you ought to get some counseling. Get some information. Get some information, know the facts, and do what's going to be best for you and your body. You need to be healthy, body, soul, and spirit. And when your body is in check, your mind is in check, and your spirit is all in line with each other, man, you are going to be strong. That's the strong mind. You don't want anything to allow to control you. This is the importance of what Paul says in Ephesians 5:18. He says, be not drunk with wine. And all people do is they go, oh, that just means you can't have too many drinks. Nope, that's not the biblical word drunk. Because if it was the biblical word drunk, it would only mean drinking as far as alcoholic beverages. But it's not. It's whatever you allow to control your mind. Because in Revelation chapter 17, verse 6, it says, and I saw the woman, and she was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Well, what did the saints drink too much? And then she drank their blood, and so that's how she got drunk? Doesn't make sense. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, it says God, his arrows were drunk with the blood of the heathen. It's talking about what you allow to control yourself. Don't let anything have control over your life. Make sure you're in the right mind. But if your chemicals are out of balance, man, you need help. But don't let it get to the point to where you can't function. Don't let life rob you of the joy Jesus died to give you. Amen? All right, let's look at Philippians 1. I actually got 10 minutes left. I thought Matt was going to go overboard, but... That's awesome. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. We've already talked about that bondservant thing. When you become a Christ follower, you are willfully placing yourself as a servant of God. Does that make sense? I hope you understand that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 2, it says, I give you the gospel, and whereby you're saved, you're held by this gospel, all that, unless you believed in vain. Do you know what that means? Unless you didn't actually believe in Jesus. Because there are so many ways that people believe and don't do nothing for him. If you're a bondservant of somebody out of love, remember the Old Testament slave? You'd have that big, huge hole put rammed through your ear, and you would be this guy's slave for life. And that's the idea. You are accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior for life. I am your servant. You remember Paul? He is persecuting the church. And he comes back, and he comes in contact with Jesus, and he says, what would you have me to do, Lord? That's us. We're bondservants. You know, I thought about this. We talk about how important Jesus Christ is. Is Jesus Christ and salvation in his blood important to you? Is it? When's the last time you told somebody about him? When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you made it your mission to pour your life into somebody? As opposed to just going through the motions. Isn't that what we do? Well, I got time, Danny. I'll just let you do that. Oh, let me do that. Why me? Well, because you're the pastor. Well, you're the people. I'm supposed to train you up to go do the work. Oh, no. I ain't get on board with that. We'll get us a new pastor. And then that way he'll do it all. Here's the idea, man. We're bondservants of Jesus. Whatever he says. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. And that's what we're going to do is you're going to redirect your mind to have a stronger mind. And that is the only way the Apostle Paul got to the point to where he could do whatever he wanted to do for Jesus. Do you know that? You know that man, what does 1 Corinthians say? That I was shipwrecked. I was bitten by serpents. I was beaten. I was flogged. I was put in jail. I was stoned almost to death. They left me for dead. And what did he do? He got up and he went back in talking about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Stop and think about that. This was Veterans Day, November 11th, and I was thinking about this. Man, it broke my heart. There's a guy named Steve Earls. He was in the 82nd Airborne with me. He was, we worked in the motor pool, and he was in Charlie Company. I was in Bravo Company. He hung himself in the motor pool. And, you know, I got to thinking about that. Thank you, man. Thank you for giving your life for the service of this country. And thank you for, and I got to thinking, I have no clue where that man is. And how I worked with him every stinking day, day in, day out. And I never said one thing about Jesus. Could you imagine the great white throne judgment? Him standing on the other side of the fence. Hey, man, I worked with you every day. You're a Christ follower and you never said anything? I'm going down here. Thanks. Appreciate it. If it's that important for you to do something, wouldn't we do it? I guess the question like Penn and Teller, the magicians, he said this one time. It's kind of funny. How much do you have to hate somebody not to give them the gospel of Jesus? Wow. Think about that. How much you have to hate somebody not to tell them about Jesus? Well, I don't want to get ridiculed. So, Jesus said, don't marvel that the world hates you. First hated me. So if you're a Christ follower, guess what? You're going to be hated. But how about giving them the truth? See, you weren't given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Open it up and use it when you need to. Bond servant. You are a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say this. To all the saints who are in Christ Jesus, who are at Philippi, and the overseers and deacons. The word saint there, this is kind of crazy because there are so many denominations and so many, I'd say false cults, that want to say that you have to do something special in order to become a saint. You got to do something to be sainthood. You have to die, and then they have to declare you a saint and all that stuff. And that's nothing but a bunch of hogwash. The Bible says that you're a saint if you're in Christ. Notice, to the saints who are in Christ. Amen? If salvation has come to call you, you are a saint in Christ. Has nothing to do with you, it has to do with him, right? You have the righteousness of Christ put on your behalf. Now you're declared holy. And that's what that word saint means. It means holy. It's the Greek word hagios. And so when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it's hagios pneuma. Because that's what the Spirit is. It's air in motion. Pneuma, pneumatology, right? Air tools. So it hagios, holy. It's where we get a form of the word hagiosmos. That's sanctified. It's set apart. You are declared holy. You are set apart for God's use because you chose to serve Jesus your whole life. Amen? Amen. In all eternity, you chose to accept Jesus and serve him out of love. And God says, there you go. You're my child. Don't let anybody fool you. If you're a saint, that means you're a child of God. And as a child of God, there is nothing that you can do that God will love you anymore, and nothing that you don't do, he can love you any less. That's the beauty of God's love for us. Amen? Yes. I'm telling you what, if you understand the word saint and who it is that is your heavenly Father, you would never lose your joy ever. Never. And since we got a few minutes, I'm gonna deal with this because we've been talking about, I've been hammering Matt. I have beginning to despise legalism very much. And I realize, and I think Matt a little bit as well, when we talk about what we are taught and then what we study and find out the Bible says is two different things. And I think it was something that he said. He goes, I'm glad that you are open to being taught new things. And I thought, what do you think, I'm old? You can't teach old dogs new tricks, but I'm not old yet. But anyway, so when we talk about overseers and deacons, I think it's good that we explain things from the Bible and the truth that comes from it. There are so many denominations that want to say that a church should be a board-led church. And that's just not biblical. It is not biblical. The Bible doesn't say it. But the problem me and Matt had is I couldn't find anybody to give me some good biblical evidence. Because everybody pointed to certain things that didn't really answer the question we were looking for. So we researched and we found some good, sound information. Now, the problem is that people take verses like this and say, to the saints who are at Philippi, that's the church, with the overseers and deacons. Okay, those two people lord over the church. Well, they don't lord over the church, number one. The deacons are a part of it. Comes from the Greek word diakonos, which in its literal interpretation means one who stirs up dust. That means our deacons come alongside the pastors, and they literally stir up dust. Our pastors are probably a better way to say elder. This word here is episcopal, which is overwatcher. It's actually overwatcher, but to make English sense, they say overseer. It's also translated as bishop. Now, this is cool. I'll give you this. This is free. In 1560, chess has been around for thousands of years. I don't know if you knew this. It actually started in Hindu. But chess, there's one piece that was called an archer. And in 1560, it became known as a bishop. And that's kind of the etymology of the word where we get bishop, overseer, because it's translated the same. So in our Constitution, it says that the pastor has control of decisions in the church, which is biblical. It lines up with what the Bible says. However, the elders are the ones that are in control. But Proverbs also says that in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Amen? And that's what we have. We have a multitude of good leaders that give good, godly advice that literally help make this church a success. However, the end result is this. A good church is only as good as the people that are in it. Right. Yeah. Amen? We want to train you up to have a sound mind. Man, I'm telling you, if you understand that you're a saint of God, You have power behind you. There is no problem in front of you any stronger than the power you have backing you up. Go out into the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. There is no reason that anybody should die and burn in hell. There is no reason that anybody should never hear the gospel of Jesus. Matter of fact, America is becoming a mission field. Can you imagine that? A nation founded on the gospel of Jesus is becoming a mission field. And I don't know whether people are fearful, whether they're not strong enough, but when you have that strong mind, where it doesn't matter what happens, you're going to go out and do what God asks you to do. Listen, people are going to fail you. Plans are going to fail you. Possessions are definitely going to fail you, and circumstances are going to fail you. But it should never, never, ever, ever, ever touch your joy. Because if you're in Christ, then you have joy. Do you have joy? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. God, I pray that as we begin to understand the mind and the body and the soul, and you've created us three parts in one, and we need to be strong. This world is overpowering us. It is absolutely over-influencing us. It is doing everything that it should for the better influence that we should be doing. Lord, we need strong minds. We need strong men, strong women. We need strong parents to teach their kids the truth. Logic is not bad, and reason is not a menace. It's what guides and directs. And Lord, your word is truth, and we know that. And we want to understand, God, how we should react in this world, how we should be. Nothing that the enemy throws at us should bother us, because our joy in you should be far more than anything that the enemy can give to us. Lord, we love you, and I pray, God, that if there's someone here this morning that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, let today be the day. Let them come so we can show them what the Bible says it takes to have heaven and eternal life. As we give you this invitation, God, I pray you just have your way. And it's in Christ's name we pray.